Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream. Make him the cutest that I've ever seen. Give him two lips like roses and clover. Then tell him that his lonesome nights are over.
You should start the show by welcoming all the new listeners from last week. The five that stuck around.
Yeah. I think that you just did. You welcomed all of our new listeners to KGB Radio, episode 31. 31. Official podcast of KnownGriefers.com. I am Rock, your host. Also, we have Chris Linendahl.
In this film, play witches.
What?
This is the part where I speak.
And you did it. Good job. Pat Ronk,
yay,
as well.
Hi.
Hey. Oh. Oh. Oh, no. Don't do that.
Get out of here, Mimoto.
Oh,
you dick.
He's that bad guy.
He ruined the last show.
No, he didn't. I think that he made the last show pretty good, actually.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that was fun. It was fun having old Miyamoto just hanging out in KGB Radio Studios.
Old Shiggy, that's what I call
him. Old, yeah.
Fit a helicopter in here.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how we got a helicopter in the studio. That was crazy.
Well, he's tiny. He's, you know, they're tiny people.
He's like 3'9" or something.
That's, yeah.
It's a small helicopter.
He's all smiles.
Yeah, yeah. So,
So bright.
So, oh, God.
Sorry. All right,
oh,
let's move on.
That was good. That was good. So, Chris, have you been playing games? Tell me about the games you play.
I played Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions.
Ooh, why?
Is that a new thing?
No.
It's a couple games old. I'm trying to get through my backlog. Yeah. I'm trying to finish up stuff right. Start Skyrim, because that'll happen someday this year.
Yeah, maybe.
Spider-Man is aggressively mediocre.
Yeah, I heard that. Of the three Spider-Mans that are presented there,
four.
What do you have? You got Amazing, Noir, 2099, and what's the other one?
Ultimate, which is back. Costume.
Oh, right. Okay. So of the four Spider-Mans presented, which is your favorite?
Everybody is going to say Noir, but Noir is like the cheapest of Arkham Asylum knockoffs. It doesn't control well or have anything cool in it to do.
Isn't it funny how, like,
you just kind of traipse along like telephone wires, and you press B when you're over a bad guy, and you string him up, and that's all you do.
I do think it's interesting that ever since Arkham Asylum came out, there have been a handful of games that have tried to mimic that style, and nobody can. Like, nothing even comes close to that perfect formula that game had.
Yeah, definitely. They try to do something different than the other Spider-Man games that have come out, but the thing about Spider-Man is not to put him in a corridor. And this game is all corridors.
That really seems counter to Spider-Man's strengths.
Yeah, definitely. And when you're in a corridor, you're going to jump and you're going to stick to shit. And the physics engine is just not made to build him sticking and walking upside down and shit. It feels janky all over the place. But I'll finish it, and it'll be a quick 5-hour game, it looks like, so whatever. It's not nearly as good as Web of Shadows, which is the game before it.
Okay, yeah, have you seen anything about the new Spider-Man game? I think it's just The Amazing Spider-Man, the new one that's coming out.
Yeah, it's a movie tie-in.
Yeah.
They're going back to the open world city, but they're following the plot. Or, the branching off from the plot of the movie. But it's all, like, fucking robots and shit. Because you can't, beat up humans, because that would give the game a T rating. So
oh, no.
Yeah, exactly. So you're just, you know, you're gonna fight robots and ugh.
That's so dumb because it's like it's not even like Spider-Man kills people. Like I can understand if Spider-Man was killing people by beating them up, but all he does is just beat dudes up. Like nobody dies. Like that.
You have to do is do a little animation of him like sticking guys to the ground or something, and you could easily get away with that.
Yeah, or like
it's too much work.
Hog tying them with web.
Yeah. The best Spider-Man game is Ultimate Spider-Man on the PS2. If anybody's looking for a good Spider-Man game, get that. It's amazing.
Yeah, I've heard that one is really good.
Not done by Beenox. I think it was Raven, actually. Raven puts out pretty good stuff, yeah.
Wow.
Beenox
which
is
ones
the
had...
new one. And...
Weren't there some that had like Bruce Campbell narrating?
Oh.
That might have been... This might have been the movie... 1 and 2 tie-in games.
Oh, okay. I think it was, the movie number 2. That was a pretty good one.
Yeah. I heard that. I never played it.
Yeah, I heard that 2 was pretty good. I heard 3 was awful, but I heard 2 was good.
Yeah. So, cool. I did that and Trials Evolution. Just jumping in there a few times.
Try any good, custom maps or whatever? User maps?
I fucking hate thing I try.
Oh, okay.
I've yet to find a really good user-created one. I spend most of my time just doing, multiplayer matches, and I play that game for, 5-10 minutes at a time, that's it.
Yeah, that's all I can do.
It gets frustrating and, hair-pulling.
Yeah, and it's weird, because you'll, almost reach, a mental block where you can't overcome some type of obstacle until you put it down for, a half hour. You need to come at it fresh.
And those, extreme tracks in single player are just absolute bullshit, so...
Yeah.
I'm at a brick wall when it comes to Trials Evolution.
And if you,
Get it? Brick wall?
Yeah. If you ever watch any, do you ever go to the leaderboards and check out, the number one runs for things?
A few times, yeah.
That's just frustrating in itself, because they just, fly over everything.
And shit like the Giga Track, just 20 minutes. Ugh.
Yeah, that was really long.
Oh my god. But, I think that's it. After I finish Spider-Man, I might crack open this copy of Fable 3 I have. Or I might finish Splinter Cell Conviction. The hot new games of 2012.
Nice. Oh, Patrick. Pat, how about you, man?
Let's see, I've played a little bit of a bunch of things this week. I kind of wish Dan was here because I've played maybe an hour or two of DayZ, and it's difficult.
How much of that playing time was installing it?
No, I was able to get it. I got it all working right away. I didn't have any problems with it.
Now it's funny because if you count installation time as play time, I've played DayZ for about 6 hours and have yet to log in.
That's dedication.
It's want of playing something that's genuinely interesting to me, but when you put it behind that kind of a wall, you lose me. Sorry.
Yeah, I know, and I really want to try and maybe we can try to get it installed later or something, because I need someone else, to play with, because it's, a part of it, excuse me, part of it is definitely going through solo, but it's nice to know that there's someone out there you could trust that you could possibly meet up with.
Oh, totally, yeah, we'll go through it a little bit later, and we'll try to figure it out, because I would love to play it, and especially, same as you, if I can play with someone who I know and who I trust, we always have more fun with multiplayer games when we're playing together, so.
Yeah, that you don't spawn with anything. You have, 15 rounds for your handgun, and just, basic stuff that you could survive, a day with. But I just kept, you'd always spawn at a random place on the beach, and I didn't realize until yesterday that it tells you what city you're near, as soon as you spawn, and then, the words fade away.
Oh.
So I was finally able to, after dying 5 times and, just randomly roaming the hills, I finally figured out where I was and found my, got my bearings. So that was nice to realize I could do that.
Oh, how Chris, were you... Yeah. How were you dying? Were you dying by zombies or by other players?
I've only died by zombies. I've avoided other players completely so far. But
wow.
Yeah, I mean, you shoot a bullet and like the zombies will come running. So it's just super tense. And there was a bug for a while. If you tried to like climb a ladder and you had your handgun out, you'd just fall and you'd break your legs. So I actually managed to like climb up a whole a pretty long ladder and came back down without knowing how to holster my weapon, and I came out fine. So I think it's just a kind of a random occurrence. But I think that's like something that's a bug in Arma 2. But so far, I think Rocket has actually fixed the bug, so it's kind of neat that he's able to do that kind of thing with the mod. But yeah.
Special thanks again to Rocket for the interview that we played in last week's episode.
KG Radio 30. I wish, it doesn't really matter because I still got to listen to it, and I didn't have anything, I wouldn't have had any good questions to ask since I hadn't played it. But he seemed like a good interview, like interviewee. I liked his stories about the game.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of the things that, I mean, this being our first audio interview, I wasn't really sure how well it was going to go. And, but he was great. I mean, he would just go and just talk, and it was all, you know, really interesting, relevant stuff. And, you know, just listening to his anecdotes and stuff was really great. So, yeah, hopefully we'll be able to do more of those in the future.
Yeah, the one thing that stuck out was when he was telling a story about his like first player kill and how it would like psychologically like ruined him for days.
Yeah, it haunted him.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, because like especially because the person that he killed was like no threat at all.
Oh yeah,
probably would have left them alone, but he just yeah.
That's just how that game rolls.
Yeah, apparently.
Let's see, I don't dwell too much on Daisy just to keep things moving, but let's see, I played a few hours of Diablo 3. It's Diablo 3, there's not really much to elaborate on that.
Yeah.
As some, now I wouldn't say many, but some people might know, I like to watch speedruns every once in a while, and just the way the work I do, I can just set it up on my phone and watch people streaming, you know, their speed runs at work. So I do that at work. And there was one runner that was doing one of the Zelda games, the Oracle of, wait, whoa, Ocarina of Time, that I was watching for a while. And he switched over to Wind Waker, which got me interested in playing through Wind Waker again. So that's another thing I started this week.
You started Wind Waker?
Yeah, it's been
probably, oh, wow,
like 8 years since I played it, and that's one of my favorite games, so it's nice to revisit that one.
Yeah, I've heard that one is actually really good. Like, I know a lot of people bitched about it because of the cel-shaded art style, but I've actually heard that one's really good, even by today's standards.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just even, yeah, visually, like, the art style, it's just, it's so well realized. It's, there's really not much you can complain about it. I think the lead up to that game being released, a lot of people wanted a real, you know, quote unquote realistic Zelda game, but in the vein of Ocarina of Time. But what we got was so much better than what we could have expected, really.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I've heard it said that what people mean when they say they want a mature Zelda game, what they really mean is they want Teenage Link. Like that's really what that means, and you know, I've heard this said elsewhere, but I think it mostly holds true, is that when you just shoot for when you just shoot for having a distinctive art style, that will stand the test of time much better than just, you know, graphics. You know what I mean? So, and that's mm-hmm. why you look at Wind Waker now, and it holds up because it had that very distinctive art style, where you look at like Ocarina and it looks really bad. I'm not talking about the remake, I'm talking about like the original, you know, N64.
Oh, yeah.
It looks really bad. And part of that is just because there really wasn't a distinctive art style there, it was just graphics, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was it's very Nintendo 64, and there's no escaping
that. Oh yeah, definitely.
But yeah,
Wind
Wind
Waker,
Waker
probably looks better than Twilight Princess does at this point.
It's that's a kind of a toss-up. I mean, Twilight Princess is like the dark Zelda.
As years go by,
yeah,
Twilight
I think
Princess
Wind Waker's
gonna look worse.
Yeah, definitely. I think Wind Waker will probably even it'll surpass Skyward Sword too. Like the Skyward Sword, it has a neat thing with the watercolor style, but there's still something about Wind Waker that's just I don't know. It's very
grimy.
Clean.
I was gonna say grimy.
Wind Waker?
The new one. Skyward Sword.
Oh no! Oh, I don't know. It would be different if it was in HD, of course. I think that's where that matters.
Every time I've seen Skyward Sword, it looks smudgy to me. And
yeah,
I know that's like the impressionistic thing.
Yeah.
But it just looks like you have like fingerprints on your screen.
Well, I don't necessarily know about that, but like I've seen it on two different TVs in two totally different settings, and I know that like some HD TVs don't really look that bad when they play Wii games. Like it looks, I really don't know why this is, but some HD TVs look fine when you play a Wii game on them, and some they look like shit. And it just so happened that the two that I saw, it was like jarring. Like holy fuck! Like this looks terrible. I could recognize the the kind of watercolor style that they were going for, and that was kind of cool. But looking back at what I've seen of that and what I've seen of Wind Waker, like if I were to play a Zelda game today, I would choose Wind Waker if I was just going on aesthetics alone.
Yeah, I'd recommend that actually, even for gameplay, because they're all pretty much the same formula, but that one I think stands alone pretty well on top. Like you don't need to know anything about like the previous story or the current, you know, or future or whatever. But
It seems like in a way, you know, like they're kind of like I know that there is some kind of a weird like rough timeline, you know, but it does seem like they're kind of. You know, like I feel like Nintendo has actually acknowledged, like, yeah, there's a timeline, but we don't really, like, it doesn't really matter. And like, they're kind of, I don't want to say they're retelling the same story in every game, but they're basically just kind of, like, telling a different story with some of the same characters every time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I guess, I mean, I'm still, like, a couple hours from the end from Skyward Sword. Apparently there's something that happens at the end that's kind of ties them all together and creates this origin story that explains a lot of how the timeline works, but I haven't experienced that, so I don't really know how it works or if it's even, you know, worth it. But I don't know, we'll see someday.
Yeah.
But anyway, like besides that, played a little Red Dead yesterday, and that was awesome.
Oh yeah.
I really liked co-op missions. I could probably play that river mission 100 times. It's nice when you pick the right class and you end up with the fire bombs or whatever, but that's always fun.
Man, I was thinking about that today, and I was like, man, I said some fucking racist shit in there. Like, Jesus.
Yeah.
Shit I would never say in any other context.
Well, when there's like sombreros lining around on the ground, it's hard not to.
Yeah,
it's
really
easy to find a target.
That. They front load the stereotypes in that one.
Ay, 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 ay.
Man, that was a lot of fun, though.
But yeah, even before, when we were waiting for Chris to come on to play, I was just about to start the whole game, like single player over again, but I didn't get a chance to yet. But that is in the future, I think, for me. I really want to play through that game again.
Oh, so freaking good.
But that's it for me, as far as I can remember. I actually made notes this time, so I actually remember what I played.
Oh, nice. Okay.
How about you?
Well, Dragon's Dogma came out this week, so I've been playing Dragon's Dogma.
Oh, yeah.
And I love it. It's really good. It's really cool. It's God. There's so much going on in this game. It's hard to, you know, it's hard to pick stuff out to talk about. Like, it's cool. It's an open world, you know, open world fantasy game, you know, RPG. And with like,
oh, like The Reckoning.
Better. the combat is really, really cool. It should be noted that a lot of the people who worked on this game are also people who worked on Devil May Cry. So the combat is really strong. There's basically it's just, you know, all of your special attacks are mapped to your face buttons, and they're amazing. And you've got so many different combo attacks. Like, just as an example, like I've got one combo or one special attack that is just like a flurry of dagger attacks. I've got one that is like this weird like dashing, like he does like multiple dashes around an opponent, like slashing at them as he goes by every time. And then the other one I have is one where he launches them in the air, and while they're in the air, he throws gunpowder at them and then ignites it on them while they're in the air. It's pretty cool.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I have other ones, but you can only map three to your face buttons at a time. So okay. There's a little bit of a strategy there where you have to kind of pick and choose what you want to use. The pawn system is really cool. Like, I'm in love with this pawn system. You like, when you start the game, you design one pawn, and that pawn is going to stay with you for the entire game. Mine's this really cool, like, old guy. He's a wizard. Then, like, as like you'll find these rift stones, and you can hire up to two more pawns, so your party consists of four people. And a lot of the time, those pawns are pawns that were designed by other players.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, so the cool thing about that, though, is that, you know, like, as you take your pawn through the game, they will learn stuff about the area. They'll learn stuff about the monsters in the area, and they'll tell you like how better to fight those creatures. They'll be able to like tell you about like, oh well, there's probably stuff that you can mine here, or you know, you should watch out for bandits in this area, or they'll even tell you like, oh, you know, the bandits are vulnerable when they do this, and they learn. And so you know, like my pawn has been hired out a couple of times now, and you know, when your pawn gets hired out, it doesn't affect you at all. Like, it's not like you can't use them, but they'll learn stuff about the areas where whoever hired them takes them. So like, when you finally get to that area, if you haven't been there yet, your pawn will already know a bunch of shit about that place. And when they come back from being hired, they will like bring stuff, like they'll bring items back. Like, oh, hey, I brought this for you. And similarly, the pawns that you hire from other people will already have all the experiences that they've had with the other players, too. So it's this constant, like, growing collective knowledge that's in these pawns. It's
that's really,
really
cool.
Yeah, yeah, and they're super helpful. Like, they're all AI controlled, but they're so handy.
It seems like an evolution of, like, the Assassin's Creed
Brotherhood stuff?
Yeah, the Brotherhood stuff. Where you would, you know, recruit guys and send them on missions, and they would come back with supplies and experience and shit. But those were always, you know, NPCs. They were never player controlled, they were created.
Okay, yeah. It's similar, yeah. The only difference is that you don't control when your pawn gets hired out. Just, you know, at any time a player could go to a rift stone, and like when you go to a rift stone, you go to this weird like ethereal plane, and like half a dozen pawns will just walk up to you, and it seems to be randomly chosen, because I've never encountered the same one twice. And but I can tell that just by their names and stuff that a lot of these are player created. And you know,
because you find like Bone Dog 420.
stuff like that, yeah. You can tell a lot of the time by their names. Yeah, you'll just walk up to them, and you know, it'll tell you what class they are, and what kind of special attacks they have, and what equipment they have, and stuff like that. And you know, so at some point, people have encountered my pawn when they've done that and hired him, and it's cool. It's just cool, like, you know. my pawn just comes back. Oh, hey, I brought this back for you, and it'll say your pawn just got back from adventuring with another player. It's kind of neat, and nobody's done this to me yet that I know of. But like when you dismiss a pawn from your service because you want to hire another one, you can rate them based on their helpfulness and their
Rape
appearance.
them.
No, rate them. Oh, careful. No, you rate them on those three, their appearance, their helpfulness, and I think their combat ability. And then you can leave like more specific comments about like their appearance and how much they talk and stuff like that. And you can send them away with a gift. And I usually send mine, like when I dismiss them, I send them away with like a rock or like a rotten fish or something like that.
Neat.
Yeah, it's so cool. I'm right now I'm probably about 10, maybe 12 hours into it, and I'm having a lot of fun. Really the only gripe I have so far is that the game is big. I haven't explored much of it at all, but I can tell that it's just by looking at the map and the areas that I haven't seen yet. It's a big game. And so far no fast travel, which means I have to hoof it every single place I want to go,
Oh, yeah.
and that can take some time. Yeah, and I understand that later on you'll get an item called a fairy stone, like fairy like a boat, and basically like you buy it, and you can buy a whole bunch of these, and basically anywhere you leave these stones, you can fast travel in between them.
All
So
right, that's, yeah.
hopefully I'll be able to get some of those soon.
Cool. See,
Yeah.
like, I think I kind of had some expectations going into the demo because that's all I've done is played the demo once, and that was based on stuff I had read, which I didn't really know much about the game. But some people would name drop Dark Souls and Demon Souls, so I was like, okay, this sounds kind of interesting, and I didn't get that feeling at all when I played the demo. So I think that's why initially I was kind of warm on it, but I kind of want to go back to it to approach it from a different angle because I didn't explore any of these things like past what they showed you in like the tutorial. I'm sure it's like a limited demo anyway, but I feel like I may have not given it a good chance.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people mention the Dark Souls connection, and not having played Dark Souls, I can't really speak to that. But the demo is really weird because the demo has, as you know, it has two levels. The first level where you fight the Chimera, that character, I don't know who that is. That's the beginning of the game. The game begins exactly like that, and at the end of that demo, or at the end of that level, after the Chimera is dead, it flashes forward and you create your character. And I don't know who that guy that you his name is Savan. I don't know who that guy is. Like, he hasn't shown up. It's kind of like vaguely stated that the point at which you create your character is taking place a lot later than when that first level is. So I don't know. It's a weird first intro to the game, and then like the second demo level where you just fight a griffin is it doesn't showcase one of it, like it showcases the combat really well, but it doesn't showcase the open world nature of the game at all.
Yeah.
And like Chris was saying that he didn't believe that it was an open world game because the demo doesn't show you that.
Right.
The demo doesn't give you any idea that it's an open world at all when it is. It's this massive open world, but you wouldn't know that from playing the demo.
Yeah, and even in that Griffin fight, like I didn't really feel like I was doing much, and then I won it. I was like, okay, that's it. like the combat didn't really make an impression on me.
I do think that part of that is due to the pawns and the like massive autonomy that they have. Like I'm seeing it
Okay.
too, where like the pawns just the pawns don't wait for you to do anything. Like if there's bad guys, the pawns are just gonna go in there and just kick ass on them the best way that they know how, and they don't require any input from you like at all. And so I see that a lot. Like anytime we encounter bad guys, the pawns just go to it.
Is that fun though? I mean, do you feel like you're cheating your way through the game?
Oh, no, because I'm definitely getting in there mixing it up as well as they are, and it like the pawns, the pawns can definitely hold their own, except for the wizard. The wizard gets his ass kicked all the time, but he's a wizard, so I kind of expect that. But no, it's I feel like I'm contributing, just as much to the combat as they are. But like if I feel like if I wasn't doing anything, that then in a lot of the hairier situations that we've been in, like everybody would have died anyway. Like you're definitely the main, like the main combat force in the game, or at least that's what I'm finding. Probably mostly because you're smart, because you're a human being and you don't have, rigid AI controlling you. But they definitely contribute a lot. They're not like I mean, nothing's more frustrating to me in a game that saddles you with AI controlled partners that don't do shit, or they do like really stupid shit. I know a lot of like a lot of shooters, you'll find your AI partners that will just like, stand in front of a wall and just like empty clips into a wall and shit like that, and that's really annoying. Or like, you can't move on because your AI guys aren't shooting the bad guys, but like like it relies on you to do it. And I kind of like that they have some autonomy.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really cool. So far, I'm having a lot of fun with it. So,
Is there conversations, or are you just going from battle to battle?
Oh no, there's definitely it's a full-blown RPG, so you're there's a lot of
Oh, really?
it's yeah, there's not it's not like like Mass Effect levels of conversation, but there it's definitely not all combat focused.
They are not advertising this game well at all.
No,
I
not at
agree.
all.
I agree
I
with you.
would ne never guess it was an RPG.
Yeah, it's a definitely an RPG. You're not like boosting stats or anything like that, but I mean it's all like quest centric, and you are leveling up and learning new skills and new abilities and stuff like that. I agree. They're really not marketing this game well at all. But it's
I thought this was a corridor action game.
yeah, definitely not. It is an open world RPG.
Good job, Capcom.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. From what I saw, I wish I could remember some of the other games that were mentioned, but I saw an article basically talking about like what their expected sales were for, the handful of different games they had coming out. And for this one, to me it seemed, fairly modest. It was like 1.5 million was what they were expecting from it, so we'll
Enough
see.
to take a company down.
We'll get to that later. Oh. Oh, well. I guess if you guys don't have anything else, we will go to break.
Oh, that sounds good.
Oh, actually, there was a just a quick little thing. Capcom apparently can't spell stuff right. They had the Resident Evil Revelations thing, but
Yeah.
I just heard about this. I know it's a little bit old, but I just heard about this. Apparently, in a like a trailer that they showed it somewhere, there was a in like the legalese that shows up in the bottom, the small print. They misspelled their own company name.
What?
Did you guys see that?
I
I
think
don't think
so,
I've
like a
seen
month
that.
ago.
It was like this is the legal property of Capcom. Like, come on,
Do
nobody's
you
spell checking.
guys own Dead Space on PC?
Yeah, I do.
All right, I want you to go into your folders and check it out because Dead Space creates a folder called Electronic Arts.
Oh no.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's a good game though. Holy fuck.
Yeah, I still need to
Electronic
finish the
Arts?
second one.
No, not Electronic Arts, Dead Space. Really want to play the second one.
I have the 360 disc just sitting around, and I should play it sometime.
I have it on Steam, and it looks out from my Steam window at me,
Yeah.
begging me to install it.
Don't you guys have a internet friend that works at Capcom or something?
Yeah, Mr. Brett Elston,
Have him
of Capcom Unity.
fix those typos. I'm sure that's his his department.
Job, yeah. Right? You know, actually, when he sent me the when he sent me the copies of Resident Evil Revelations, they're like first run copies, so they say, you know, Revelitons on the spine. But he also sent along two new covers that have it spelled correctly. So that was kind of cool. So yeah, let's go to break. Let's do that.
Cool.
All right, we will be right back. And we are back. Pat, what was the song bringing us in?
It was Lollipop, and I don't know who did it.
The Cordettes.
Oh, was it? Oh, okay.
Yes. The same lovely ladies who do our theme song.
Aww.
Yep, that was an original composition done for the show. I don't think I can do that. And I think that many films will directly controvert that statement.
Well, it could be just from the future.
Back to the future. It happens in Back to the Future at least twice.
That's right, we are mentioned in there. I always forget about that.
Yeah.
This is a great aside. Yeah.
News. Alright. There was a new trailer released this week for Metro Last Light. It's a really cool trailer. It's a live-action trailer. Very cool. It basically just shows a shitload of people panicking and then going into the Metro. It seems kind of weird to me, though, just because they've already said, like, nah, this game's not coming out this year. Like, it's, you know, it was supposed to originally, but it got pushed back. Like, it seems to me like, you know, I admire them, I guess, for trying to build a little bit of hype early on. But if they don't keep the hype rolling throughout the year, then people will just forget that this trailer happened.
Yeah.
So, I love Metro.
Is that a THQ game?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, no.
They could have put the trailer out just to keep their investors happy, like...
Solvency.
You know, yeah, like, hey, we are putting games out.
Yeah, that's possible. Because, I mean, God, what are they putting out this year?
Darksiders.
Is that still happening?
I don't know. It's happening, I don't know if it's this year.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, as I understood it, a lot of stuff from this year got pushed back. But, yeah, it's a cool trailer. I mean, you know, whatever. It's there. It exists. It's a thing. Also, it was announced that there's a new Star Wars game. And that it's going to be shown at E3. But nobody knows what it actually is.
Oh, awesome.
Battlefront 3.
It could be Battlefront 3. That would be fucking awesome.
That'd be awesome.
You really... I wouldn't get your hopes up, guys.
Yeah, no, I... That would be cool if it happened, but there's actually a lot of speculation going around about what this could be. I guess they... LucasArts had trademarked a name a while ago. It was a Star Wars 1313... And nobody knew what that was. And I guess like some Google foo led to the Star Wars wiki, the Wikipedia. And I guess Boba Fett used the name CT-1313 as a name at some point. So
sounds like a definite connection there.
Yeah,
God damn it.
So some people think it could be a Boba Fett game, which... It's probably going to be terrible.
Can they fucking stop with the Boba Fett shit? Like, he was good in one fucking movie 30 years ago, and then you fucking dipshits put him in every other thing that's come out ever with Star Wars on it, and then you put him in the new fucking movies, and he's a Spanish kid
and
with a speech
stupid.
Impediment. He's not fucking cool anymore. Nobody gives a shit about Boba Fett. Fucking A. Like, stop fucking raping my childhood and just fucking let it be. Stop putting out Star Wars shit and, you know, fucking put out a Red Tails game. I don't give a shit.
Well, you know, I think that, I think that what happened was that, you know, Boba Fett did have, you know, a pretty big popularity among original fans, and then LucasArts and Lucasfilm kind of misinterpreted that as being like, this is the coolest character in Star Wars, he needs to be everywhere now. And
Boba Fett was popular and cool and mysterious from 1980 to 1995.
I agree.
That's 15 years. It's been longer since then that they fucked him up than it was that he was cool in the first place. So just fucking stop with the Boba Fett shit.
But I mean, if Lucas is anything, they are very good at misunderstanding what is popular among their own fans. I mean, do you remember the Star Wars Bounty Hunter game?
Vaguely.
Yeah. That was an entire game where you get to play.
Do you remember Super Bombad Racing?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think that Lucas has, well, and you know, Star Wars Episode One Pod Racer on PC and N64 was a pretty good game too.
Mm-hmm.
But and Rogue Squadron also great. But by and large, Star Wars games not that good. And I think that a large part of that is because Lucas just doesn't understand why their fans like what they do, and they don't understand what their fans like about the things that they like. And so they just think, like, no, we can just put Boba Fett in this. It'll be cool, right? No, it won't.
But it's not just the games. It's everything they do with Star Wars now. Like,
yeah,
they put Boba Fett, Jango Fett in the fucking Clone Wars cartoon. That shit sucks. They fucking put Darth Maul in the cartoon. That shit sucks. Like, what the fuck? Like, just fucking... Just...
Well, you know, that's
fucking
just
stop.
That's just one theory that it would be something centered around Boba Fett. I hope it's not. Really what I hope for is Battlefront. If it's a Star Wars Battlefront game, like, that would be really cool. But it would also probably have
only,
Boba Fett.
That's the only Star Wars thing that would work is a Battlefront 3 or a RPG like KOTOR.
Or Wait, I will submit two other things to you. Actually, I'll just do one. If they did like something similar to like Rogue Squadron, but newer, that would also be fucking awesome, right?
Rogue Squadron X-Wing. One or two?
I don't care. Whichever one was the good one. I only played one, and I thought it was pretty fun.
I'm thinking of Rebel Assault. That shit sucked.
I don't like Rebel Assault, but no, like Rogue Squadron
Rogue
on
Squadron
N64.
Was very good.
Yeah,
very good.
Dude, if they did another one of those, yeah.
Yes, I agree.
So there
so
are
three games. There's three games that they could do, but you know what? They're not gonna fucking do that.
They won't.
They're gonna do Kinect Star Wars 2. That's what it's gonna fucking be.
Yeah, or Force Unleashed 3.
Right. Or fucking, you know, Kinect lightsaber training, and it's gonna fucking suck my dick.
No, it won't. That would be a good thing if it did.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so that's happening. I'm excited to see, just because, you know, I can't help but hold out hope that it will be something not shitty, but you know, history shows that it has a better chance of being something shitty.
It's almost like a truism? I can't think of the word now. It's gonna be probably something shitty.
Yeah.
It's a good contribution, Pat.
Yeah, hey. I'm here.
And, the big news, 38 Studios, as we've talked about before, they were having some financial trouble. They laid off their entire 379 person staff this week.
Wah, wah.
Yeah, that, you know, that really sucks for those 379 people. Like, that.
I guess you could say they really struck out.
Oh God. Yeah.
Kurt's
yeah.
still pitching no hitters.
Oh.
That doesn't make any sense.
Nope.
Yeah. So I don't know what's gonna happen. You know, they haven't said anything about you know, if the state is going to take over or what. I mean, what would they be taking over? They'd be taking over a company that doesn't have any employees.
I would imagine that, like, their, you know, sudden money troubles has really thrown Rhode Island for a curveball.
Yeah! Oh my God. Well, you know, this is just such bullshit. And like, Chris showed us a story a little bit earlier today that I guess a lot of the employees at 38 Studios who relocated from Massachusetts to Rhode Island, 38 Studios had basically told these people, like, yeah, we will sell your houses in Massachusetts for you. Like, we'll take care of all that for you. And a lot of them got called by banks asking why they weren't paying the mortgages on their houses in Massachusetts. Meaning that 38 Studios had not been doing what they said they were going to be doing.
That's, like, evil in, like, a freaking Voldemort kind of way.
It's really fucked up, yeah. Like, I have to wonder, like, did they ever intend to help those people sell their houses, or did they just tell them that to get them to relocate? Like, come on.
They're gonna get fucking sued.
They better get fucking sued. They deserve it.
I hope fucking Kurt Schilling gets fucking fleeced out of this. Fucking most inept management I've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you know, we saw a story earlier today, too, that R.A. Salvatore was basically saying, like, yeah, I might not get paid either. Like, a lot of my work was based on, you know, like what happens after the game is done. So, you know,
oh, no, he hasn't. It's not like he hasn't written, you know, probably 30, you know, Times bestsellers or whatever.
Right.
Oh, you that's know, true. That's true.
R.A. Salvatore speaking out and saying, you know, all this, like, he wasn't involved in all this stuff. That's a fucking business move by a businessman trying to get his name away from a failed venture so it doesn't mm-hmm. ruin his standing with, you know, future businesses that he tries to get involved in. That's what that is. It's a fucking blowhard fucking dipshit trying to step out of the fire and put his problems on other people's shoulders.
Well,
it's fuck too.
It's possible.
He's a piece
of
shit.
I mean,
well,
like,
it's not
like,
possible. It is. He's a piece of shit.
Hang on. It's possible, but I mean, one thing that I was thinking of was that, like, I was looking back at a bunch of the stories from like 2009-ish when you know, when they started talking about, like, yeah, we got, you know, we got R.A. Salvatore and he's writing the you know, the backstory for the world and you know, he's creating this world and stuff, and you know, I mean, what it seemed to me was that it is entirely possible that R.A. Salvatore's involvement with the company was not as, like, a founder, because, I mean, he definitely was not a founder of this game studio, or even as a part owner of the studio, but as a guy who, as, I don't want to say outside contractor, because I feel like that puts too much distance between it, but,
he was,
you know, similar.
He was listed on the visionary page on 38 Studios' website, which
well, yeah, I mean,
included him and Todd McFarlane and Kurt Schilling.
Right, but that doesn't mean that he's an actual employee.
No, but that's a pretty high standing in the company, at least as a figurehead.
Well, I mean, and yeah, but if you had a visionary, like, if you had a guy like R.A. Salvatore hired on as, like, an outside
right,
contractor, you'd
right.
tell people about it, too.
Right, and he's totally cool with putting his name up there when the company's going well and he thinks that they're going to launch an MMO. He's like, oh, yeah, put my name on that shit, you know, fucking, I'm all behind this shit. And when it, you know, 38 Studios goes tits up, he's like, oh, whoa, I only worked there. Fuck these people. I'm out. I'm Bob Salvatore. I'm going to go write some shitty fucking Wheel of Time novels.
I don't know. I didn't really get that feeling.
He's trying to fucking dip and dodge like Kurt Schilling is. They're making sure that they have everything that they put into that company back in their pockets and, you know, fucking let these other people pay for their houses.
I definitely got that feeling from Kurt Schilling's statements, but I really didn't get that feeling from R.A. Salvatore. I mean, Todd McFarlane hasn't said anything, has he?
No, he's probably drunk somewhere.
Yeah, I was actually kind of surprised by that. That he, I mean, Kurt Schilling has said very little, but Todd McFarlane hasn't said anything at all. Which, like, I kind of felt like Todd McFarlane and Ari Salvatore were kind of on similar footing there. As like, no, like we don't actually work here. Like we were brought in to like do work on this thing, but like, you know, we're not actually employees of this studio. You know, that was the kind of the feeling that I got. But I'd really like to see, like, you know, hey, Todd McFarlane, what's up? How did, you know, what are your feelings on this? But, yeah, like, all those fucking people out of jobs. A lot of them now have second mortgages that they didn't know about.
And Big Huge Games, who shipped a game and, you know, were a studio before 38 bought them. Now they're fucking out of work because they got bought by a shitty company.
Yeah. Yeah, and I, you know, I really, really hope that, you know, someone will come in and snatch them up, because, you know, that's a time-tested studio, you know?
It's like that studio that was bought by Gizmodo guys to make Gizmodo games, and they were like a legit gaming developer, and then they got bought and made a Gizmodo game, and then that fucking guy crashed his Ferrari and got busted by the and they all, you know, lost their jobs, even though they had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes that, I mean, you know, Big Huge was in a really shitty situation. You know, they didn't, you know, they were going to get closed anyway, and then, you know, 38 stepped in and was like, no, we got it, and then, you know, and now this happens. Like, seems like those guys just can't catch a break anymore. And the governor of Rhode Island was, he was saying, like it seems like he's doing, like, daily or, like, bi-daily press conferences at this point about this shit. And he, like, in the most recent one, the press was getting, like, you know, more and more hostile. And he was basically like, no, look, like, you gotta remember, I'm not the guy who greenlit this thing. Like, I was against this from the beginning. I'm just trying to pick up the pieces now. And, like, he's just, like, I don't know, he seems like a good guy. He's just trying to, you know... He's just trying to clean up this fucking mess that he got handed. And, I kind of agree with the sentiment that he had, where he basically, he felt like the previous administration was probably blinded by the celebrity of having this, you know, this pro baseball player. He's going to start a company in our state. You know, oh, fuck, my kids are going to play baseball with Kurt Schilling. Like, fuck, come on, like... And, like, he even said, like, no, I don't see him as a baseball player. I see him as a businessman. Well, you know what? He's a shitty businessman.
Yeah, he is.
And the previous governor was kind of, like, late into his term when he approved this shit.
Yeah, so he was, like, on his way out.
Yeah, so he's fucking signing paperwork. Fuck, you're a guy's problem now. I'm out of here.
Yeah, seriously. Well, and I mean, the guy who was on the Economic Development Committee, who greenlit that, he resigned. Two other people resigned who were involved with it. And then, like two other people requested that they not be promoted because of this. Like, great. Everybody involved with this is like, no, we fucked up. Sorry. Yeah, big crap. This really sucks. Like, I mean, it really sucks for the people who, you know, who don't have jobs and now have two mortgages, like... That really sucks.
And live in Rhode Island.
And they didn't do anything wrong, you know? It's because Kurt Schilling is a fucking shitty businessman and doesn't know how to run a business, but he expects the taxpayers to bail him out. And fuck that guy. I hope he goes to prison. Yeah. Jesus Christ. That pisses me off.
I mean, it's just so inconsistent with his views or whatever that he's been very vocal about, like, his whole career.
Yeah, also very true.
I've heard people describe him as, like, a blowhard who tried to use his celebrity to muscle his way into game development.
Well, he did.
Right, because he was an EverQuest player. So he figured, because he can throw baseball pretty fast, he can make an MMO.
Well, you know, I think it's a very, very good case for, you know, you might like video games a lot, but that doesn't mean you can make one. You know, I love video games. Clearly, I host a podcast about video games. I do a website about video games. I would never fucking convince myself that I could actually make one, because I know I can't. Like, I can barely write a fucking article about video games. There's no way I could actually make a video game. Like, I recognize that. This is a guy who, you know, loved video games and just happened to have the money and the celebrity to convince people that he could run a studio that could make video games.
Yep.
God damn it. So, in summation, fuck you, Curt Schilling.
Yep.
And I will gladly fight Curt Schilling. I'll fist fight him. That'll be fine.
Watch out for those 90 mile per hour fists.
I don't know. Do you guys have any other news?
Well, it's going to be over by the time this is posted, but there's another speedrun marathon going on.
This one is benefiting autism, right?
Yeah, it's I can't remember the name, but it's an autism research group that all the proceeds are going to.
It's autistic kids just playing the first level of Mario Brothers over and over.
Oh man.
Just keep jumping into the fucking canyons. That's terrible. Why would you say that?
That is pretty bad.
I have Asperger's and I have a question.
I don't want to dig too deep into that. So that's going on. It'll probably be in like a month. There'll be like videos of it because they record and post everything from the marathon. But there's a bunch of games that aren't commonly speed run.
Speed run.
Yeah.
Krius.
What's your favorite game that you've ever seen speed run? Number one speed run of all.
Ocarina of Time. It's a lot of fun to watch. Because they're constantly finding new exploits, so that was fun. That's kind of dropped off a while because they got down to, I think, like 20 or 30 minutes.
Whoa.
Yeah. There were some crazy exploits that were found in about, I don't know, maybe a month or two ago, where, I don't know, you had to die at the same time you walked into one of, like, after you defeat a boss, there's, like, you know, a warp thing you can walk into. And you have to, like, pull out the ocarina at the same time as you die. It was something like that, crazy. But it would warp you, like, past the last Ganon fight somehow.
Holy shit.
You had to throw the dynamite into the cattle corral just as the mission ends.
Yep.
Yes.
And then you got...
I forgot
cattle,
about that.
Carcasses just littering the cutscene.
That was just a magical moment.
That was great.
I mean, it just... The screen... We should probably explain this, because this is going to be, like, totally incomprehensible. Like, just hearing half the last half of the story.
In Red Dead, on the mission where you lead a herd, co-op mission, I think...
The mission is called The Herd.
If you throw a stick of dynamite just as the mission ends, and it lands in the cattle corral... The ending cutscene of the mission will trigger, and the dynamite will have exploded, killing all the cows in the corral. So you see the end of the cutscene, and there's just like this, just carcasses all over the place, and it's like four or five cows left alive, just kind of milling around, like over all these dead bodies. Shit.
It was just an amazing moment. It's like I set my controller down at that point because I mean the cattle all went in there. And then I see, like, you know, one of those, the fire bottles, like, just fling into the, from the side of my screen, into the middle of a hurt, like, just a lump of cows. And then the screen fades. Then you don't hear, like, it explode or anything, but it just comes back and there's just carcasses everywhere. That was a nice surprise.
There's a similar thing you can do in GoldenEye 007. If you plant a mine or something on your the girl who's with you, Natasha, and you trigger that to go off just as she jumps through a window, she'll be in like ragdoll for the ending cutscene of the level. It's videos on YouTube. I'll put it on the page. It's amazing to see. Just ways
cool.
You can fuck up games is really good.
Glitches kill me.
Yes,
it's just a constant. There's not really much for news this week.
Yeah, it's a pretty slow news week, except for 38 Studios being terrible.
Yeah. Shit, I really was looking forward to that Project Copernicus.
Oh yeah, I'm sure, yeah, I was too.
It was the MMO that I was going to play.
Yeah, yeah. It was an MMO.
That's a thing. Let's go right into Burning Question.
How about we go to break first?
Oh, man.
Yeah. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back.
In dreams, I walk with you. In dreams, I talk to you.
And we are back. Pat, the song, Bring Us In.
That's In Dreams by Roy Orbison.
I love Roy Orbison. Roy Orbison is awesome.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Classic.
Totally. You know, it was really funny for me when I played Alan Wake. You know, at the end of the first chapter, that song plays. And
yeah,
I was
that's
like,
what made
wow.
me think of it.
Like, Roy Orbison has never been creepy, and now it kind of is.
Mm-hmm. I was actually just trying to think of songs. I was just, like, hitting random, just seeing what would pop up, and an Alan Wake song came on. I was like, oh, man, isn't Roy Orbison in that? And that's where I came to that. There was some other good licensed music in that game, too.
Yeah,
I can't think of any of it.
But
it was all pretty good. That's another one I'm probably going to end up replaying, you know, soon.
Oh, it's good. It's very good.
It's weird that that's like on my priorities rather than these games that are more recent. I think that's just me.
I don't know. I mean, that's a legitimately good game. I like that game a lot. I haven't played any of the DLC or anything, but the main game was pretty goddamn good.
Yeah, I got the first DLC, and it was really difficult, and I never made any progress in it. So I'd rather just remember it as the game it shipped as.
Yeah, that's probably better.
I'm kind of curious about the American Nightmare thing, but I don't know. I might get to that someday.
Yeah, I've heard it's pretty good.
And Chris, you played that, right? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Daddy's drinky.
Okay.
All right. Great. Chris, how do you feel about Roy Orbison? You like the Roy Orbison?
I like the Traveling Wilburys.
That's not what I asked you.
I like the Traveling Wilburys. He was in that.
You don't like regular Roy Orbison?
Meh.
Alright.
So, Roy Orbison was in Buddy Holly's group, backup group?
Really?
The Crickets?
No. Nope.
Yeah, I was gonna say, that's not true.
It was Waylon Jennings and somebody else, I forget.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, weird.
Waylon Jennings? More like Waylon Jennings.
That's right.
Yep. I got him.
There's a joke in everything.
Yep. There was a joke in there somewhere.
Oh, can we rush to the end, please?
Nope. I'm gonna draw this out.
It's like a slow fucking torture.
Or it's just like a slow fuck.
That's a good thing, right? I don't know.
If that's what you like, you know, yeah.
Your mom likes it slow.
Oh, you got me. You got me. That was good to talk about my mom. So, let's see. Stuff that is up on the site right now. I wrote a hands-on second impressions for Dragon's Dogma. My first or second impressions based on my, like, first 5 hours or so with the game. That's up. Chris wrote an article about 38 Studios firing everybody. Very tasteful title there.
Yep.
I personally, I would have gone with Stee Reich as the title.
That's just, they weren't on strike, though.
No, it's not that they're strike. It's that they're now out. You know, Steve Reich. You know, swing and a miss. You didn't. You know,
strike
three. Steve Reich three. You're out. That would have been the perfect title.
No, that's pretty good.
Yeah, but seriously.
So you plan on doing a review of Dragon's Dogma, or Dogma, right?
Eventually.
Okay, so it's just whatever pace you get to the end.
Yeah, I'm really trying to, you know, get through it, but it's a really big game, and I have no idea how long it is, and, you know, I found something out about myself that if I try to do an article in multiple parts, I never finish it. So instead, I'm just gonna play this game as much as I can, and I'll write a review when I'm done. You know, I'm just gonna go ahead and say right now, there's never going to be a part three of my Kingdoms of Amalur Reckoning review.
Fair enough.
That's never gonna happen. So
I don't really want it.
Yeah, I don't think anybody does. You know, I mean, I don't believe in reviewing a game if you haven't finished it. You know, like writing up a full review if you haven't finished it and giving it a score and stuff. But, you know, if I had to score it based on the experience I had right now, you know, so far, it's like a 2 out of 5.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Just mediocre.
That's less than mediocre.
Oh, okay.
I would say a 3. It's like mediocre. 2 is the lowest score that we've ever given a game.
What got a 2?
I Am Alive. I gave that one a 2.
Oh, right. Okay, that was hotly contested by friend of the site, Diethel, right?
Yeah, it was. And what did Humor Tour give Operation Raccoon City? I feel like that had to have been a 3 or lower.
Oh, I'm not sure.
Yeah, it was a 2 or a 3. He did not like that at all.
It seemed pretty disappointing.
I saw like a level of it get played at PAX East, and it seemed pretty cool. But you know, I wasn't the one playing it, and it was only one level, so you know, I can't really say.
Yeah, and you're not a diehard Resident Evil fanatic either.
Also, that. In fact, I tried to give away my Dragon's Dogma came with a demo. Download code for Resident Evil 6, and I tried to give it away. Because I don't really, like, I don't care. Like, I used to like Resident Evil a lot, but I've really fallen away from that series and don't really care to get back to it.
I didn't even know there was a demo available.
Yeah, if you want the code, I'll give it to you.
I'll try it, yeah. Okay.
Cool, because I'm not going to use it. Yeah, so we're going to go into a little segment that I like to call Burning Question for Answer, So Hot. Ooh. So this week's Burning Question for Answer, So Hot is, what is your favorite gaming peripheral? So Chris, well, what is your favorite gaming peripheral?
I have Rumble Pack, Nintendo 64.
Oh, that's a good one.
Wow.
Thank you.
Holy shit. Mm-hmm.
It was heavy as fuck, but it made your controller shake, and that was awesome.
Yeah, and then every controller that came out after that had to have Rumble built in.
Yep. Except the PS3.
Nice. Yeah. Weirdly enough, it does now, but yeah, when it came out, no rumble. Instead, they decided that motion control was more important.
That turned out well for them.
Yeah. Pat, how about you?
It's not too imaginative, but just playing through Wind Waker again, I really like the GameCube controller. I have plenty of gimmick like controllers, but the Samba de Amigo, Maracas, and that kind of stuff.
Donkey Konga. Kongas.
Yeah, actually, that worked pretty well for Donkey Kong, the side-scrolling game, not necessarily the music one.
Right. Jungle Beat?
Yeah, Jungle Beat. That worked as a controller really well. Then there's also, I have the Dreamcast Dual. Ah, shit, I forget the name of it. It was only used for Virtual On or Toriyo Tangrim. It's like the dual rod? Sticks. No, no, no. It's just like the arcade version of the Virtual On games. It's a twin stick controller. No one? Huh. Okay.
No. Nope.
Yeah. It cost me a lot back then.
Mech game.
Hmm?
Virtual On's like a mech game, like Zone of the Enders, right?
Yeah, it's kinda. Just a deathmatch kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I've owned that, but I still like the GameCube controller a lot. It just fits in your hand really well.
Certainly an improvement over the N64 controller.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that one's okay, actually. It looks funny, but it actually has a pretty good, I mean, it was the first good, like, analog stick, and that was a big thing, so.
Very true.
And it gave you the option to hold it differently for the
GameCube
D-pad.
I never held a GameCube controller in my hand.
Really?
Yeah, I was sat out one of the years that the GameCube was around, and I had a PS2, so. I've never held a GameCube. It looks fucking weird as shit, but. It's probably comfortable.
It's actually a really great controller. I can vouch for that. And I know that for a long time, before this current generation of consoles came out, the Nintendo WaveBird wireless mm-hmm. controller was viewed mm-hmm. as being like the best wireless controller you could get, like, ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, so, yeah, I still have one. I think the Wii controller is fucking abysmal. Even just
like,
you know,
the Wii remote or the classic controller,
the remote, like turning it sideways and playing it with it that way with a D-pad and the two buttons.
Yeah, I think it's kind of
too fucking small. It's just like it's too thin or like narrow to be comfortable. It's terrible.
Yeah, I think ergonomics are definitely an issue there for me. It, like more than anything else, it's ergonomics.
Like
it's like holding a candy bar between your hands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, I understand it's a remote control, but even remote controls are bigger than the Wii remote, you know?
Well, and
just expanded that shit out.
And you aren't expected to do, like, rapid control inputs with a remote control.
Right.
You know? But, I mean, you know, the classic controller is, you know, definitely an improvement over that.
Mm-hmm. It's more like the Super Nintendo controller, which is another great...
Yeah.
Thing, you know.
Totally. Well, and you can use GameCube controllers with the Wii, so, you know, even better.
Yeah. How about you? What do you how do you feel about peripherals?
I have never owned a peripheral.
You never had a stick or anything?
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking, like PC
yeah,
stuff.
Actually, yeah. I've had a couple of different joysticks and stuff, but like to me, that's just something that, like, to me, that's not a thing that enhances the experience. To me, that's just something that, like, no, I'm going to play a flight sim, so you better fucking have a flight stick. Like, it doesn't make it better. It's something that if you don't have that, you are not playing that game. I have, like, a really nice flight stick, but it never gets any use anymore. It's sitting on my floor. they're just, because, like, the only sims I play are, like, space flight sims, and those practically don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
I remember being a kid, and you know, before we had any consoles, you know, my family was, you know, when I was young, like we didn't have a lot of money. You know, we were kind of poor, and you know, like I didn't really understand how I may have told the story before, but like I didn't really understand how things worked. Like I didn't understand that you needed to have the system that the peripheral went to before you could have the peripheral.
Oh,
yeah. So like I would see commercials for like the Power Glove, the Nintendo Power Glove, and
of course, yeah.
I'm like, man, I want the Power Glove, but I didn't like I didn't understand the relationship. So.
Oh, no.
You know, like, my dad, like, oh, what do you want? Oh, I want a Power Glove, Dad. And my dad, like, you know, my dad doesn't, at the time, didn't really know anything about video games. And, like, I don't know if it was just, like, a straight up, just like, no, Or like if he actually like looked into it and like, wait, we need to get another like we need to get a Nintendo first. Like, no, that's not happening. All I know is that I did not have one. This is also not a peripheral, but when I was a kid, I really wanted a Game Gear.
Okay.
I so badly wanted a Game Gear, and like I remember telling my dad, like Dad, I really want a Game Gear, and you know, we went to the mall one morning. And he's like, yeah, son, they're like, that's like $180. Like, I'm
Yeah.
sorry, kid. We can't, you know, we can't afford to get you a Game Gear. I'm like, man. I mean, you know, he
I
probably
had a
saved me
Game
from a
Gear.
lot
You
of
weren't missing
anguish.
out.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a kid who lived next door to, who moved in next door to me when I was like 8 had one. And you know, I played a couple of games on it. I was like, yeah, this is not that cool, actually. You know, the only handheld system I've ever owned is a PSP, and I still have it. And you know, the limited functionality that it has serves me well when I need it. You know, is there a power outage? Play the PSP. Am I flying somewhere? PSP. So, thank you, Sony. I
You know what?
guess.
Actually, this headset has actually been really awesome. I mean, as far as probably one of my favorite things to do, like I'll play single player games, but just being able to play games online with friends has been like the most awesome thing. It's particularly PC games.
Hell yes.
It's one of, I mean, I really want to get some DayZ action going on with friends because I just haven't had that happen yet. Because I think it's going to be completely different, and you're not just on your own. But I don't know when that's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, you know, I will say this. We should end the show now. Because I'm not too drunk yet to go through this with you right now. So we should do that. So, listeners, answer the burning question for Answer So Hot on our new Facebook page, facebook.com/knowngriefers. Answer in the comment section. What is your favorite gaming peripheral? And follow us on Twitter at @known_griefers. Write to us at knowngriefers@gmail.com. Chris, you want to say goodbye?
Bye.
He's dead. He's dying. Remember, if you feel like you're going to throw up, roll over on your side. That's how Hendrix went out.
Been drinking all afternoon. Memorial Day weekend. What up?
Yeah, tomorrow weekend. Let's get busted up in this. Pat?
Till next time.
For all the staff at knowngriefers.com. Have a wonderful evening, everybody.